Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 12th day of August, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Meet Peggy Hall, the Healthy American. And before we begin, we will dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We will also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cymru am byth, which is Wales forever. Also, we are in the question and answer mode, which means all callers, whether joining by computers or by phone, are automatically muted until you signal that you wish to join the call. And you do that with a star 6 on phones, and on your computers there should be an icon there that says ask question. That will flag me, and then I will unmute you. So let's see, we got some guests here now. Peggy has not contacted me since the other day, and so I'm hoping she's going to be able to call in here in a few minutes. If not, we've got a whole laundry list of things that are going on in the country right now, and actually the world, but we're going to focus mostly on the United States here. She did tell me she was looking very much forward to talking with us tonight. And I wanted everybody to get to meet her because she is a fireball of passion for the truth. And she has done amazing things in California, particularly there in Orange County, California, to help mitigate what the New World Order is trying to do. Now, while we're waiting for Peggy to call in, we're going to go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Haven't we talked about this before? Whom you have from Yahweh God. You are not your own. You were bought for a price. Therefore, glorify Yahweh God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Both your body and your spirit belong to the Father. and we got to remember that. We're eternal spiritual beings, and we are to honor our temples by not polluting them. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't do that. Well, if you're an abuser of drugs or alcohol, yes, you are. If you're putting GMO foods, hybrid seed foods, and different things like that in your body, yeah, I would say you're probably abusing it. If you're putting vaccines in your body, I hate to tell you this, but you're probably polluting it. And again, you don't have to answer to me. You're going to answer to our Father above when that day comes. I'm just telling you what he's told me, because I spend all of my time researching, and I've been doing it for decades, trying to find the truth. That's how I found Peggy Hall. And again, I'm hoping and praying she's able to call in. But I found her because I was seeking out the people telling the truth about these goofy-looking masks that they want you to wear and the fact that they are not protecting you. I had a talk with one of my relatives just before the program. That's why I'm running a little bit late. And the lady works for a very prestigious hospital in the administration part. And I said, you know, in a hospital, they have these same type masks. What do? They don't wear them all day. They take them off as soon as they can take them off, generally within 20 minutes. And where do they put the gloves and the masks when they're done with them? In the hazardous waste bin. Hazardous waste. Same place you'd put mercury or defiled or polluted blood or any of that kind of stuff. You don't put it in the regular trash. It goes into hazardous waste. Okay, what are people doing with these coverings over their face? They breathe into them all day long, so it's like a dirty diaper hanging off your face. And what do you do with it? They put them in their pocket, they put it on their dashboard, they stick it in the glove box, and then put it right back on their face. Okay, even if they worked, you're using them completely against the protocols that were established a long time ago. So this verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is very apropos, especially today, because if you are a believer in lies, then you're not a follower of Christ. He said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And nobody gets to the Father except through me, correct? Yeah, amen. You don't get to the Father lest you go through Christ himself, which means anointed, by the way. Now, I'm looking down through my different emails. And by the way, I want to send out a kudos to my good friend John in Miami and young man Matt up in Minnesota, who are both responsible for my three monitor setup here at the command center. Between the two of them, they donated all the hardware that was necessary to allow me to have three 22-plus-inch monitors to operate from. I'm going to tell you something. That has made a huge difference and made my job so much easier trying to do the research I do, type up all the stuff we type up, trying to keep you abreast of what's going on out there, because that's the job of a leader, okay? Remember, the Aramaic word for leader, commander, and pastor is the same word. They only had one word. We have three different words depending on what kind of leader you are. If it's a leader of a church or a religious group, we call them a pastor, preacher, whatever. If it's a leader of a military group, we call them a commander. If it's a leader in civics, government, then we just call them leader. So pastor, commander, and leader, all the same thing. So doing this research, I got a letter here just before airtime, and I wanted to share it with as many folks as I can. And again, I apologize that Peggy hasn't called in yet. We're having a hard time communicating. She is so loaded up, and I sent her my phone number hoping that she would call me, but that didn't happen. But anyway, I got this letter from Mr. Lyle Rapaki, who's a PhD, so that's a doctorate, and he runs an organization called the Sentinel Intelligence Services, out in Arizona, and he just put out this message saying that Antifa is weaponizing. Okay, now remember, the sign and the flags that Antifa carry look exactly the same colors, almost identical design as the communists in Germany in the early 1900s when they tried to take down Germany, just like they tried, well, they succeeded in taking down white Christian Russia. They tried to take down white Christian Germany at the same time. If it wasn't for the National Socialists, they would have succeeded, okay? Because the National Socialists of Germany fought back, where the Russian people, unfortunately, were betrayed, and they did not resist until it was too late. Then the White Russian Revolution started, and unfortunately, they lost, and many thousands of the leaders of the White Russian Army were executed, okay? Many, many tens of millions of white Russian men, women, and children have been executed by the Zionist Bolsheviks when they took over. So the German National Socialists stopped that. So this Antifa group working here has the same symbology. They're backed by the exact same group, which is the Zionist Jews. They're bankers and they're rich people such as George Soros, the Rothschilds, the Bloombergs of the world, the Cuomos of the world. All these rich, ultra-rich Jews who have got their wealth by stealing it from us, okay, through usury, which the Bible condemns, and one of the verses in the Bible even condemns usury unto death. It was that serious. So they've stolen it, so he's got this article he put out. Now, let me just read to you what he had to say here. The following report will prove sobering and troubling. I can appreciate if you find the context not only difficult to accept, but borders on conspiracy theory, or at least sensational. What I challenge you to do upon reading this report is to go further and investigate the contents and find knowledgeable sources with whom you can then debate the information. Struggle as you may, but please reach some conclusions as to how you may respond if what is presented occurs. What if the scenario below actually happens? What if such conflict arises and law enforcement are hampered in any manner? What if your community or surrounding region experiences the turmoil outlined below? What would this mean for you? Those of you who have known and or read my reports over the past 15 years know I am not prone to sensationalism or conspiracy theories. I make every effort to present fact-based material. When necessary, sound an alarm, not being officially sounded, and to bring people, including elected and law enforcement officials, to a position of contemplating, what if? To those in the church, I am sounding the shofar of warning as a watchman. Shofar is the horn or the trumpet. Already churches have been confronted by Black Lives Matter and Antifa with no media attention or reporting of any sorts. Absolute silence to maintain the prescribed image that all is well. Nothing to see here, simply move on. But forces of darkness are gathering, and all is not well. Be prepared in the event the content of this report becomes reality. Yahweh the Lord reminded his followers this, quote, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That's Matthew chapter 10. So, again, we have, looking here to see if there's a few new people logged on here. If one of those is Peggy and I don't recognize it, please either hit *6 on your phone or the ask question button on your computer, because I don't see anything that identifies you. And again, I obviously have to get better communications going between Peggy, because this is attempt number two. So this report, which I've sent some up by email, is entitled "Breaking: Antifa Terrorists in Austin and Portland Just Received a Large Cache of Weapons in Preparation for Coordinated Multi-City Tet Offensive Type Maneuvers Against America." Now, I was part of the Vietnam experience, even though that wasn't an actual war, a declared war, where we intended to win anything. It was just more kill and spend money so that the Jews can make money, and lots of body bag and body counts on both sides. But anyway, this report that Lyle is talking about here shows them getting sniper rifles, what looks to be a modified AR-15, and we've been reading that these people are being armed by the big dollar Jews for exactly what's going on, which is a takedown of Christian white America, just like they did in Russia and are going to attempt to do in Germany. They did not succeed until after World War II, after the British, French, and American and Canadian forces stopped the only two armies who were dedicated to stop the Jewish communists, and that was the Italian army and the German army. So once again, we were deceived with false information, and so we ended up actually hurting the world by unleashing the Red Terror. Now it's come to roost here in America, and we've talked about this, and the good news is I'm watching and listening to reports all day long of people sounding exactly like you and I have sounded on this show for a long time. I just pray that that means that they're listening to us, because they're saying almost verbatim the same things that you and I have talked about on this program. Verbatim. I listened to a rant by a white guy on BitChute. I'm going to tell you, this guy was fired up Lau Rapecki here, I've known him for a while. We email back and forth a little bit. His stellar credentials, besides being a PhD, let me read a little bit about what his background is. Let me see here. He is a protective intelligence and assessment specialist, consultant at Behavioral Analysis and Threat Assessment, a private sector intelligence analyst, U.S. Border Intelligence Group, the ASIS International, the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, Association of Threat Assessment Professionals, Arizona ATAP, and the International Association Law Enforcement Intelligence Analysts. Okay, so, and I've listened to some of his videotaped interviews. Lyle is a no-nonsense kind of guy, and now he's warning us, okay? All these other channels are warning as well. Now, one of them was Dr. Steve Turley, who certainly is not a, whatchamacallit, a sensationalist. He just put out a video that was talking about the armed militias. Okay, I sent that out to a few folks. Armed militias springing up all over America to confront these predominantly black and minority mingled with some Jews. A lot of people say there's white people in there, but there aren't very many actual white people except soy boys and girls and cucks. Okay, most of the Jews that you see, particularly those that are doing some of the Molotov cocktails and being confrontational with law enforcement, etc., they're actually Jews, and we got to get people to stop identifying Jews as white. They're not. That's why we're in so much trouble, because much of what's been blamed against the white race has actually been Jews. And it's time that we separate that identity, okay? Jews bounce back and forth. When it's beneficial to them, they want to be called white. When they're trying to get the races to hate us and destroy white America, then they make it very clear that they're not white. They're like chameleons, okay? Just like Jesus said in Scripture, they basically change their spots and their colors to suit whatever their agenda is. So Dr. Turley, who has a YouTube channel, was talking about the significant rise in the militias, and the BitChute rant that I listened to sounded like one of the guys that's part of these militias. And what they're basically saying is, we're done playing games. Hallelujah. Finally, the men have said enough. Enough of this kissing the ass of the blacks and the other minorities. You've overstepped your bounds. You're pushing this communist agenda. You're disrupting our culture. You're disrupting our society. And if you want to fight, then we'll bring the fight to you. Okay? And he makes a good point, the one gentleman in particular. He said, they don't really realize, see, they've gotten so used to white people being such soy boys and girls because the men have been sitting back on their haunches, the real men. And they're either part of the crowd that just stays below the radar because they know it's not time yet, or they're part of the crowd that just because they don't want to be called names or they're afraid their girlfriend won't give them a piece of you-know-what that night, they'll go along and just stay quiet. Well, we're beyond that now. Okay, it's not time to worry about that sort of thing, because this is going to go hot very, very soon. Unless there's divine intervention, unless there's a very powerful group of good guys out there that want to intervene, this thing's going to get ugly very, very fast. It's ramping up very quickly. People are pissed off. They've been locked down artificially. They've been told to be afraid artificially. They've been given lies and propaganda through the media. But the good news is Father has done what he said he would do, separate the wheat from the tares, okay? He's letting us know who our neighbors are that we can trust, okay? Those with a diaper on their face, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. That means one of two things. They're either low IQ, or they've got no balls, or they are so consumed with television that they can no longer think. One of those three options, if there's a diaper on their face, especially when they're walking down the street by themselves, or in their car, or on a bicycle. And I've even seen guys on motorcycles with them. You want to talk about stupid? I've been on a motorcycle when it goes over them. That's not a pleasant experience. All right. So you want to wear a mask going down the road at 65 miles an hour and you're going to pass out. Let me give you a clue as to what you're going to look like after a 65 mile an hour crash on a motorcycle. Nothing that the ladies are going to want to get next to for the rest of your life, son. That's what you got ahead of you. So we've got all these reports. The anger, resentment is building and building. The militias. And the other thing that Dr. Turley and others have been reporting on is the fact that law enforcement, particularly the sheriff's departments, are siding with the men of the militia. Hallelujah. Now, interestingly enough, I just got an email from Sheriff Mack, who is the former sheriff out there in Arizona, who founded the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association, CSPOA, CSPOA. And I had asked him if he is supporting in his upcoming lectures and training that he's offering people, if he supports the sheriffs deputizing us men, whether we're part of a militia or just part of the armed community of fathers out here. And he highly encouraged it. He said the sheriffs should have a very strong posse behind them, okay? Because that's what we are. The word posse means power. Posse comitatus is power of the county. The posse that used to go out with the sheriff, you saw back in the old Western shows, they showed the posse was the men, okay? The men got their weapons and their horses, and they rode out with the sheriff, okay? Now, that does a couple things. Now, think about this. It's historical, okay? Typically, the posse would be even-numbered men, typically 12, maybe 24, depending on how big a job it was. But generally, it was at least 12 men. Why is that? Why would it be 12 men? Because that's the number of men that sat on juries. Because it was a portable jury for the sheriff. Think about it. Now, what was the job of the 12 men to do when they went out with the sheriff? They had two jobs. Number one, to make sure the sheriff wasn't overstepping his bounds, to make sure he had a warrant, to make sure it was properly signed by a judge with proper authority, and that they were doing a righteous thing. In other words, they were after a real bad guy. This was not a political hit job or trying to promote an agenda or whatever. So that was their number one job. Now, once they've decided that the sheriff is right in what he's doing, their job was to assist him in apprehending the bad guy. And if necessary, they could hold a trial remotely from the city. Okay, let's say they found a horse thief. It was actually verifiable that it was a horse thief. The 12 men could pass judgment and they could hang them right on the spot. No need to bring them in. Now, when they got back to town, the job of the posse was to disperse and go back to their homes and back to their regular jobs. They didn't make a full-time living out of being, quote, law enforcement. So they had no incentive to make things drag out. Justice delayed is justice denied. And so with a posse and a constitutional, righteous sheriff, justice was swift, which is what it's supposed to be. Both ways. If they're guilty, then they should be punished immediately. If they're innocent, they should be in it. They should go home to their families and not be bothered. For like they are now, there's people I've heard of. I know one guy at the American Legion, 4 years, four whole years of his life was taken by a false accusation of rape. It took 2 years before it even went to trial. The mother of the girl lied in court. It was proven later on that she lied. She was actually charged with perjury. But it took another 2 years of appeals to get that approved. So the man ended up losing 4 years of his life. Okay, that's a travesty. That's a travesty. Now, Angel just wrote in here, is Peggy in the same time zone? No, she's California. She's 3 hours different. Now, she's behind us by 3 hours. But I told her that. I told her it was Eastern time. So there should not be a problem with that. However, that doesn't always guarantee everything. And again, in these days where things are changing quickly, we have to stay flexible. I'll get up with Peggy, find out what's going on, but I apologize. when I got the email just 2 days ago, I thought for sure today we would be able to connect and you'd get to meet her. She's a phenomenal person because if we had a couple hundred thousand more like her, this country would be turned around in a day. She's energetic. She's smart. She's passionate about what she believes in. She loves the truth. She loves health. And she's like most naturopaths that I've known in my past, 20, 25 years that I've been a naturopath. When you go to the classes and you meet the gatherings of naturopathic people, they're always, it's like going and meeting in heaven. These people don't care about making lots of money. They're not trying to sell you a snake oil. They just want to see people healed. They're tired of Western medicine. I would say a good 25 to 35% of the people in the classes typically were nurses. Some of them were nurses that were going to continue on in the nursing career, but many were nurses that had given up. As some of the nurses told me, Western medicine or what I learned in school is not working. So I wanted to actually help people, so I became a naturopath. So they actually make very good naturopaths because they know the nursing side of things and all that technical stuff and how prescription drugs work and the body works and everything else. But they're taught herbology, iridology, reflexology, all the different things that actually help to the body heal itself, which, by the way, Yahweh's perfect body, as we read in that scripture, he gave you the best defense against all germs, funguses, viruses, disease, microbes, blah, 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 you name it. And it's called your immune system. Okay? Just keep your immune system. Isn't that a lot easier than spending time and money worrying about pharmaceuticals and vaccines? Okay? None of those things work as good as your own immune system, folks. And most people get sick because their immune system is depleted. And by the way, isn't it interesting that the wearing of that dirty diaper on your face will cause your immune system to be depleted? If you wear it, the longer you wear it, the more depleted your immune system, the more impaired your immune system is. So, you know, to me, that's just, it's diabolical. It's criminal. Criminal and diabolical. Fauci and Birx and the rest of those charlatans that come up on front of the camera should be arrested for crimes against humanity, possibly even murder, because they are part of the cabal that is actually paying the medical profession handsomely for lying on the documentation in the hospitals and doctor's offices, and they're actually handing out lots and lots of money when they put somebody on a ventilator. And as I told people recently, when you're put on a ventilator, that's almost a death sentence. Okay, you can look this stuff up online. 80% don't ever come off the ventilator. And as Miss Arlene, a retired nurse, told me recently, and she was in the cardiothoracic unit, intensive care, with, I believe she said, over 40 years experience in nursing. So I think she knows what she's talking about. She told me that intubating with a ventilator was a method of last resort. In other words, you would not put somebody on a ventilator unless you had exhausted every other means to try to help the person out, because it is so intrusive. It is so touchy. In other words, you got to know what you're doing, because if you make one mistake, you'll kill the patient. And it's very, very hard on the lungs. Very hard. And even when they do it successfully, it's also very hard to get the lungs to go back into operation once the ventilator has been doing the work for them. In other words, it's a nightmare. This idea that, oh, we'll just put them on a ventilator, it'll do it artificially, and, oh, everything will be fine. No, it's actually very harmful. Again, it's why it's the method of last resort. Okay? I'm just reading a note, so excuse me for that slight delay here. I'll tell you, I've been running around like a chicken with his head cut off today. There's just so much going on. So let me write some things down here real quick, and then I'll get back to what I was going to talk. And I think what I'm going to do is just, if I can't get Peggy to actually contact me by phone so that we can straighten this mess out, I'll just have to skip that. You guys can go to her website, which is thehealthyamerican.org. thehealthyamerican.org. And the reason I tell you that is because I've been contacted by a lot of people trying to go into shops and businesses except without the dirty diaper on their face, and they're being confronted, and they wanted to know about the Americans with Disability Act, ADA, paperwork that I use when I got into Walmart and BJ's warehouse. And in both cases, got to talk to the manager and then Walmart, the assistant manager, as well as some of the employees. And I basically gave them a lesson. Okay, that's not what I intended. I just wanted to go in shop and be left alone, but they surrounded me. So it ended up that I basically gave them the Peggy Hall and the Pamela Popper and the Sue Jurgelin. I think that's how you pronounce her name. It's Swedish, I think, that's over in Ecuador. But basically gave their versions of how you handle these people. So, but Peggy is very, very, very strong, and her stuff is laid out very logically, very easy to understand. So just go to thehealthyamerican.org, and you can download the PDF file. You can print out as many copies as you want. And as she said, if you're not real good with the speaking part, which, you know, obviously I don't have a whole lot of trouble with that because I got a big mouth and I've been on here for 21 years. And as my friends will attest to, I have no problem speaking out, which is really odd because when I was a boy, I was very shy. I hated speaking in front of crowds. I did not like giving reports in front of the classroom. Very, very shy. Now it's almost like I'm just the opposite. But here's the secret. Now, I've told a lot of people this. If you're afraid of speaking in front of crowds, it's generally because you do not feel confident in what you're going to say, generally speaking. So the cure for the fear of speaking in public is be knowledgeable. In other words, don't be reading off a card or trying to memorize. Speak from the heart, which is what I do with every broadcast here. I have no prepared material. I've got a scratch pad here with maybe six lines of stuff just to remind me of a few. That's it, okay? Because I live this. I live this message from the Bible. I live this life as a patriot. I live this life as a natural health professional. Why? Because I care about people. I care about myself first. I care about my loved ones. That's second. And I care about even strangers, people I don't know that well. Because I want to see everybody healthy. That's what a true Israelite of our Father Yahweh, that's what his attributes are, a loving, caring, and sharing individual. Until you push us too far, say, we've been loving and caring and sharing to the point we've almost, our race is almost being obliterated. Our countries, our white nations are being overrun by aliens, by invaders. Aliens of race, aliens of culture, aliens of language, and many times they're carrying diseases that our bodies have not gotten immune to. So they are racking our nations into havoc, and all of this is the behest of these criminal Jews. They're all Jews. You look at that one report that was put out today about the governors in the states that are going along with Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the COVID-19 fake pandemic. Every one of them is a Jew, whether it's Cuomo, Whitmer, the one in Illinois, the one out in Washington State, Wolf in Pennsylvania, Newsom in Virginia. They're all Talmudic, Bolshevik, communist kikes. The same exact crowd that murdered hundreds of millions of innocent people during the Bolshevik revolutions of the past 100 years. Whether you're talking about China, Cambodia, Vietnam, Korea, Ukraine, Russia, okay, Romania, wherever you want to talk about, they're behind it all. The Red Terror. That's why they were given the name of the Red Terror. That's why General George S. Patton told us at the end of World War II, we fought the wrong enemy. The Germans were the most moral and caring soldiers on the battlefield. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's a fact. It's a fact. Now, particularly the German SS. SS was a special group. To be part of the German SS, you had to be not only an excellent soldier, you had to be an excellent person. And they held their people to accountability. If you committed any kind of a bogus thing like stealing or rape or anything like that, you were punished severely. You were not only thrown out of the SS, but you were also punished, sometimes even by death. Okay? So, as General Patton said, on the battlefield, especially after he witnessed what the Russian Red Terror looked like, he said that the Germans were by far the better race on the battlefield. They were much more civilized, much more caring, much more humanitarian than even our own soldiers. So for you people that want to have your heads up your rectums and want to believe a lie, you can believe whatever you want, that we were the glory boys and did no wrong and everything else. Well, I'm going to tell you something. No, that's not true. I've read the stories. I've read what some of our people have done, and it's not pretty. It's nothing to be proud of. And I've had relatives that were in World War II. Some of them did not come home. I had a cousin, 18 years old, died at the Battle of the Bulge in France. He's buried in France. So our family is paid in blood for that complete debacle called World War II. It's time we face the facts. We fought the wrong enemy, as General Patton said. Douglas MacArthur knew we fought the wrong enemy, too. He didn't state it as publicly and as vocally as General Patton, but he knew. And now that enemy has come back to roost, because just like our ancestors in the Bible, when Yahweh told him to destroy the Edomite, destroy those that are a prick and a thorn in our sides, as the Bible called them, our ancestors didn't do it. Instead, they let them live because they wanted the money, they wanted whatever. Okay? So now that decision to allow the enemy to carry on is come home to roost, and now it is destroying white civilization across this earth. And as the white civilization dies, guess what? Everybody's going to suffer. Everybody will suffer. So all you non-whites out there that might be listening, just think about that real hard, okay? Think about it real hard now. When the good white people have been subdued by these Jewish communist Bolshevik pigs, what do you think is going to happen to you? Because you know what they call you, right? Useful idiots. Useful idiots, which is exactly what the blacks and the other people that are part of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, that's what you are. You're just cannon fodder to these Jews. They don't mind giving you dollars. That costs them nothing. They stole all they want, and now they can produce it with a few keystrokes on a computer. So if you're willing to go out there and take on the police and take on the white militias and destroy their neighborhoods, do you think these bastard Jews give one rat's rear end about you and your family and what's going to happen to you? Of course not. They're laughing all the way down to the synagogue. Do you know what these assholes are doing? We're giving them digital dollars, and they're out there actually fighting. They could get shot and killed. they're actually going to start a race war for us. And all we had to do is give them digital dollars? Is this not cool or what? Hey, Steve Mnuchin, you're part of our synagogue crowd. Hey, print me up some more. Oh, that's right. You don't even have to print it up. Go hit F2 on your keyboard there and send me another couple billion digital dollars, will you? Stevie, over there at the Federal Reserve. Come on, Steve. Send my synagogue some money because Georgie Soros and Bezos and Burks and Fauci and all the rest of our gang here, Boxer and Feinstein and Schumer and Pelosi and Adam Schiff and all the rest of us goy folks are goy-hating, Christ-killing Jews in Washington. We want to buy up some more of these dumbass, useful idiots that'll do our bidding for us. Guns and ammo sales continue to skyrocket, and according to Colonel Potter and a few others that I've been listening to lately, a lot of stores are basically running out. It's not because it's being choked off, it's just they've sold so much. I learned this from retailers many years ago that there's enough guns and ammo in hiding in this country that you could fight a war. And even if they choked off everything right now, we got so much ammunition and so many weapons. Besides that, we also have weapons that most people don't know about. We have some things that people are working on that nobody talks about. So it's not just your standard old 308 or an M1 carbine or an M1A or an AR-15, AK-47, whatever. There are things being worked on by our guys because we're the ones with the smarts. We're the ones that Yahweh talks to, not these clowns. They're outside of Yahweh's grace. Our side's being told all kinds of stuff. Fox News today just had a guy come on and admit that COVID, once you take away the false reportings, turns out it's no worse than a bad flu season, exactly what we've been saying since February, March. Even Fauci, the lying Jew that he is, said so back in March, back when he filed that paperwork with the New England Journal of Medicine. Along with those other doctors, he said the same thing. But when he gets in front of a camera, he does what his Jewish overlords tell him to say. Because, after all, it could get you killed if you don't do what they tell you, right? So he goes along with it, Burks and all the rest of them. And also, he's making a boatload of money, and he's a criminal. He was part of the whole criminal HIV scare many years ago. So these people have been at it for a very long time. So, anyway, Lyle, in that report, it's very sinister what is being done, and it gets back to what we've talked about on this program many, many times. You better be prepared, folks. Back to basics, and start thinking like soldiers, especially you men, all right? That's the job of the men, okay? If ladies want to help out, that's one thing. That's a man's decision if he thinks a woman should be part of his combat unit. But it's primarily the men, okay? You're supposed to be the head of your households, guys. That's a fact, okay? You can't get away from that. Yahweh is going to hold you accountable for your family. If they're not knowledgeable of Scripture, he's going to blame you. If they're disobedient to the hierarchy that Yahweh established, he's going to blame you. If the family falls under attack by an outside force and somebody gets hurt, he's going to blame you. Their defense is your job. Because I've had people over the years, oh, my wife, she doesn't like weapons. And I said, well, she doesn't have to, dude. You're the head of the household. You can buy a gun safe. You can make sure it's not loaded. I mean, don't be dumbass. Leave it laying around where children have access to it. Leave it loaded. When my children were small, I had gun cases, and they were locked up. The children didn't even attempt to get into them, okay? Ammo was locked in a whole different area. The guns themselves were locked in a different area. And they knew damn well their asses would be beat if I caught them down there trying to get into those cases. So there's a smart way of doing things and a dumb way of doing things. But the point of it is, men, you're responsible. You're also responsible to train the people in your household. Okay, now today it's a little tougher than it used to be, especially for those in the cities, but Hopefully, most people that know this message are out of the cities by now. But go out into the country. You don't have to go down and sign up at a gun range and go through all that nonsense. Just go out in the country. Take a trip out to some relative or a close friend that lives way out in the boonies. We used to go shooting in our backyard all the time where I grew up on the farm because we had nice rolling hills as a backdrop, so we didn't have to worry about bullets going anywhere. We were far enough into from neighbors that they might hear a gunshot, but it wasn't going to scare anybody. Plus, we had so many hunters in our area, hearing gunshots was frequent. So we just go in the backyard, put up targets on the barbed wire fence, and shoot them. The point of it is, it's your job, okay? Prepare your families, and you prepare yourself. So you should be fit spiritually, mentally, and physically. You need to make sure you got supplies. We've talked about that for the last 21 years. At the very minimum, your household should have 3 months' worth of supplies. That's everything you need for 3 months in case everything. Now, it may not work out that everything gets shut off, but think of what the Boy Scouts used to say. You prepare for the worst. You don't prepare for, well, I don't think it, no. You pick the worst case scenario, and that's what you prepare for. Worst case scenario is everything gets shut off. Communications, electricity, water, transportation, gasoline, medicines, food. All that gets shut off. Can you stay hunkered down in your bug-out place or your bivouac for 3 months? 6 months is better. Now, Thomas Chittum, who wrote the book Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America, in that book he suggested 6 months. Now, what he said about 3 months is you got a pretty good chance of surviving any kind of internal civil war, catastrophic breakup, breakdown of society, just as we're witnessing happening right now in slow motion. Actually, it's speeding up, but okay. And he said, I can, as a soldier in three different campaigns, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll do pretty good with 3 months. He goes, but if you can get 6 months, I can almost guarantee you'll be okay, barring any unforeseen circumstances, of course. But for general purposes, 6 months will almost guarantee you'll be all right. Just stay out of the way. Don't go downtown. Don't go around these groups. Just protect your home front and just don't go out and antagonize anybody. Just stay out of the way because bad things are going to happen. And you don't want to be around these low IQ diaper wearers anyway. I don't even want to be around them. I don't even want to look at them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them. I have a very hard time even having any empathy for them, to be honest with you. If you, I don't know. A lot of people say, Dan, you're a little harsh. Maybe I am, but to me, it should be common sense. Putting a dirty diaper on your face and thinking you're helping yourself or anybody else is just ludicrous. Beyond belief, ludicrous. And I'm just shocked that there aren't more people speaking out about it. Now, the good news is I got a lot of friends and relatives who are in the medical professions, and they let me know pretty damn quick that this was not for real. Not only that, but my spidey senses and the Holy Spirit were telling me Fauci was nothing more than a snake oil salesman from day one. I wouldn't buy a used car from that clown. Him or Burks. And I'm shocked that they were allowed to speak in front of the camera as long as they did. Again, the good news is, though, we are clearly identifying the terrors amongst us, the enemies of humanity, the enemies of this great nation and all the other white nations, they're all identifying themselves. If they're pushing this COVID nonsense, they're an enemy. They're a liar and they're an enemy. If they're pushing the dirty diaper wearing, they're an enemy. If they're pushing the Antifa, Black Lives Matter bullshit, then they're an enemy. If they're bowing down, kneeling down to these antichrists, they're an enemy. Okay? And I've said a long time ago, for you poor folks out there to think, like some of my friends told me, well, we're not going to prepare, Dan, but if we see bad things happen, we're just going to come over to your house. Say what? You're going to come over to my house. For what? Well, you know, you're all prepared. You got, you know, food and ammunition and medicine, all that. We'll just come over there and hang out with you. And I go, no, you're not. If that's your plan, to hang out at somebody else's house because you're too damn cheap and lazy to prepare yourself, I got news for you. The only thing you're going to find coming up my driveway are bullets coming at you. At that point, you're no different than Black Lives Matter. You're no different than Antifa. Okay? What did Christ say about the maidens that didn't properly prepare their lamps by having enough lamp oil? Okay? They lost out, didn't they? They didn't make excuses. They didn't go up to the ones that had put away the oil for their lamps and say, hey, how about dropping me a few quarts of that oil there so I can have... No, no, no. You were given the warning. You were told, and you didn't do a damn thing about it. Why should I help you at this point? Okay? So the same thing goes for survivalists and preppers. The warning's been going out, folks, and it's really a shame that it took this much chaos, this much upheaval in this country to finally get people to start paying attention to what the hell we've been trying to tell them. It's amazing. So obviously this program will not be titled Meet Peggy Hall when I'm done. It's probably just going to be a open forum or Rise. I'll tell you what, I'm going to name it Rise of the Militias, because that's exactly what's happening. And I'm really glad Sheriff Mack and the sheriffs, I just saw where a Florida sheriff has told his troopers and people coming to the sheriff's department to not wear masks. He said, take them damn things off. So some people are standing up against this nonsense. But the sheriffs, apparently, according to the reports I got today, are reaching out to the armed militia, and they're going to join forces. Maybe not all of them, but enough to protect their communities. And as we've said from day one, the militia is here to work with our good police officers and sheriff's department folks, and we will have their backs. We will actually go out there and stand in the gap to help protect them and their families when bad stuff starts happening. Okay, and we know that the good ones are under assault because the New World Order, these communist Jews, they don't like anybody that's not going along with the program. Our good nurse, Arlene, is telling us breathing CO2 because of your mask decreases mental acuity. In other words, it interferes with your mental processes, making it harder to reason and to think straight. So again, think about this. Why would communists want you to wear a covering over your face? So good guys couldn't detect who bad guys were. That's one. Also to take away your humanity. Also to show obedience to Moloch and to the New World Order. Also to diminish your health and your ability to reason, which would make you more susceptible to what? The wiles of the devil, the deceptions, because you have lost the ability to think clearly. Makes sense, doesn't it? So again, this has never been about an actual pandemic, an actual threat to anybody's health. This has always been a martial law, communist insurgency hiding beneath the pretext of a health crisis. Okay, Ralph just says that CO2 intoxication, which is what you get when you're wearing a mask for more than 20 minutes, CO2 intoxication also causes fear and anxiety, which makes sense. Okay, Ralph, I see you have to go. Take care, buddy. Yahweh bless. Ralph's up there in Canada. We have a lot of Canadian brothers and sisters, so praise Yahweh. And we have a lot overseas, too. This word is getting out, folks. I can't tell you how many things I listen to all day long. These very various platforms like Coach Dave Davimir, Dr. Turley, Dr. Buttar, Dr. Tenpenny, Dr. Lorraine Day, Pamela Popper, and of course Peggy Hall, and many, many others. And how many, especially of the military guys, former law enforcement and military guys, who are starting to say what we've been trying to get people to understand for a long time. This is a full-blown communist takeover. This is a full-blown communist insurgency, which means a military move to conquer this, to take over this country, just like they did in Russia just 100 years ago, just like they did in Russia and they tried to do in Germany. There's a good book out if you want to learn about how that all went down. And besides Mein Kampf is Communism in Germany. I don't have it in front of me or I'd give you the whole title and the author, but I'm not going to look it up right now. But you can do a Google search for it. Just put down book and then Communism in Germany, and it'll explain the Bolsheviks and how they operated exactly as they're doing here. Their tactics have not changed, folks. Exact same flags, exact same colors, the exact same turmoil and chaos, and the exact same people paying them and encouraging them and leading them, which is the Bolshevik, communist, Talmudic Jew, just as they did 100 years ago. When are we going to wake up? And I'm encouraged because I think the wake up is in full swing and we are getting very close to go time when communists are going to start showing up hanging in trees, which is exactly where they belong. Okay? And I saw too the headline today that goofy, demented Joe Biden has picked Kamala Harris. That's two peas in a pod right there. Two outright Bolshevik communists in a pod. And Kamala Harris is married to a Jew. Imagine that. And if I remember right, Joe Biden's got kike DNA in him as well. If he doesn't, he sure as hell should have because he operates just like him. He's a profligate liar, and he is a psychopath, and so is Harris. Textbook psychopath. And psychopathy is a trait of a Bolshevik, which just so happens is also a trait of your average Jew. They are psychopaths. They have no empathy for mankind. They can look you straight in the face and lie and never even crack a smile. Okay? Snake eyes. That's why they're such deceivers, because we are the naive people amongst our race think that everybody in shoe leather is just like us. Well, they know being white, we blush and we have a hard time looking people in the eye if we're lying. That's one of our traits. I'm talking about a pure-blooded white man. Okay? So we think that when the Jew looks at us and keeps a straight face, that he must not be lying. Well, the Jews don't have that problem. They are psychopaths. They have no, they are narcissists to the nth degree. And since they have no empathy and no conscience, it does not bother them. That's why the scriptures says that they would lie and they would not even blush at their sin. Okay? At their sin. Meaning, sin is violation of God's law, by the way. Sin's not picking up a Playboy and looking at it or having a bad thought about a naked woman, and that's what the church world wants to make you feel guilty about. That's not what Yahweh's talking about. Those things, by the way, happen to men all the time. You're not going to change that. That's how we were designed. It's wired into us, all right? What the word is telling you is sin is violation of his law. And the modern-day church world tells you that the law was done away with. okay, which is an outright 100% lie. Okay, the law was never done away with. Parts of it were fulfilled with the coming of Messiah, but the law itself never, ever went away. So, when you eat the unclean foods, when you don't observe the one day off in seven, when you desecrate your holy temple, meaning your body, you are committing sin. When you race mix, you're committing sin. When you charge usury, you are sinning. When you allow usurers to operate in your country, you are sinning. When you allow racial aliens to have political power in your country, you are sinning. Those are the sins that he expects you to stop performing so that your land might be blessed. Okay? Let's see, I wanted a couple more verses to give you here. Joshua 1, verse 9, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for Yahweh your Elohim God is with you wherever you go." Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Amos 3, 7, "Surely the Lord Yahweh will do nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." We've been telling you, Malachi chapter 4, okay, you better be reading it. Okay, now, also, while we have some time here, I want to read the 9 noble virtues, okay? And if you don't have a copy of this, send me an email and I'll shoot you a copy real quick. The 9 noble virtues are based on virtues found in historic Norse and Germanic paganism, gleaned from various sources, including the poetic Edda, and as evident in the Icelandic sagas. They are a wonderful set of guidelines for honor and morality. And the 9 noble virtues are: 1, courage. I face my fear and defend my family and kindred or tribe from all dangers. 2, discipline. I do what is necessary and right of my own accord without bribe or threat. Fidelity. I am true to my family, friends, kindred, tribesmen, and those to whom I pledge service. Honor. I stand by my oaths and honor my ancestors by keeping my name pure among my kindred. Hospitality. I share hearth, food, and drink with my friends, my kindred, and the weary traveler at my door. 6, industriousness. I take joy in labor and hold nothing back from the work I pledge to do. 7, perseverance. I press on against all odds until my goal is met, the task is finished, and I have done all I have said I will do. 8, self-reliance. I learn skills and grow strong so that I may earn my way in the world and be no burden to others. 9, truth. I seek the truth, even when it may be a hard truth. I speak true words or stand in silence, and I defend the truth from those who do not honor it. Okay, white stallions, my white brothers at arms, there's your 9 noble virtues. And again, if there's anybody out there has something they want to share and report, now is a good time to go ahead and hit *6 or press your ask question button and give it to us, because we got a few minutes here before I'll close it out. And again, I apologize, Peggy. I don't know what happened. I will find out and get back with you on it. Maybe what I'll have to do is just get her on the phone, record a conversation with her, and just play that recording back. Trying to do a live show is just not working out very well, is it? So, in last program, I mentioned the traitorous preachers that we have amongst us. They've all signed on to the clergy response team. This is where the clergy have agreed with the cabal that they'll go along with their charades. That's why you don't see much protesting going on when the Jews demanded that churches not be held during this fake pandemic. They've already sworn allegiance to the cabal. All right, we do have a caller here. Let's see if I can get this software to work. Come on, come on. Okay, Kurt, welcome to the program.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I just wanted to give my input is that they want to defund the police so they can do what they want, but when the cry of white supremacy comes up, they want them to be arrested. So they want the police to only be for messing with us and making our lives miserable. They just want to do what they want. Loot, steal, whatever. That's what I just wanted to say.
Well, you know, what's interesting is it's backfiring because as the police have backed off, the militias have grown, and now, and they're predominantly white, the white militias have grown and said, well, we'll do the job. And as the militias have grown and stepped up, now a lot of law enforcement are throwing in their support with the militias.
Lucky for us. Good timing.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it turned out good.
Yeah, the scriptures tell us that the plans of the Antichrist will be turned back on their heads double. That's what the prophets told us. So maybe that's what we're witnessing. These plans were all to trap us and to enslave us and to put us into this New World Order, which is a Jewish-run hell. But a lot of their so-called plans are starting already to turn on them. Trump just hired a guy for the COVID team that is staunchly anti-Fauci. So we'll see how that works. Also, I had some people contact me today that another wave of funds ended up in their bank accounts. So that was just before the program, so I have not had time to look into that. But has anybody else heard of anything like that? Another wave of, I think they're calling it stimulus money, but it's actually just hush money from the government. But has anybody else, have you heard about that, Kurt, or anybody else?
No, I haven't. I know that the like I said, it's just hush money.
Oh yeah, it's to keep us from rioting. So I don't know. It's very interesting. Very interesting, Kurt. Definitely time to stay prayed up. Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm, should be prayed. Psalm 149 for the warriors. That's our honor to execute his judgments on the heathen that are amongst us. And Psalm 83, which is an imprecatory psalm against our enemies. You want to stay on, Kurt? We got another caller.
Sure, I'll stay on.
All right. See if Vince can hear me. Vince?
Yeah, can you hear me, Pastor Dan?
Yep, I hear you loud and clear.
I just wanted to make a comment on what you were saying earlier about these Antifa queers and the rest of them arming themselves. Did you hear about the guy in, I believe it was Austin, Texas? This was reported by, what's his name, Mark Dankoff on Andrew Hitchcock's show of a couple of weeks ago. I guess he was a white guy, I'm pretty sure. He was either Antifa or a BLM. He was downtown wherever they were rioting or protesting, as they call it, with a loaded AK-47 speaking either on somebody's iPhone or possibly a local Austin station or whatever, telling about how it was a loaded AK-47 and how they asked him, well, what do you think the outcome's going to be? And he goes, well, we're going to win this because we're dealing with a bunch of pussies who don't do anything. You know, I guess a half hour later, there was some sort of roadblock, and I assume a white motorist got trapped there, and this character walked up pointing that AK-47 at this car, and that driver pulled out a gun and shot him dead.
Wow, no, I did not hear that.
I don't think this guy Dankoff's making that up. maybe he is. I don't know. I don't think so. He reports quite a lot of news. It's on the Monday shows, the Vandy Hitchcock, and I can't remember what it's called. He's on there with another elderly man, I believe, by the name of Krieg. And anyway, this is from a couple of weeks ago. You might check it out. Those shows on Andy Hitchcock's website disappear pretty quickly. So I have a feeling it's still up. But, that goes to show you right there.
Wow.
Isn't that bizarre? I mean, something like 30 minutes later, that creep was shot dead by a quote-unquote pussy, I guess.
Well,
I live in Texas. I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was BS. I don't know. I wanted to pass that along in case somebody had heard about it and they wanted to look it up. I have to have sort of limited internet right now, so.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to.
We'll look into it and see what we can find out. How's your situation, Vince? Are you hanging in there?
Yeah, I still have a few hours left. I work several places. That was most of my hours, right? So far, nobody else has challenged me. I'm going to start looking. I wish this gal had been on your show. I probably would have called in and had some questions about Orange County for her, because I might would try to, if they're not putting up with this stuff here, I plan on going down there and taking a look, and if so, trying to find a roommate down there and moving in there.
Oh, okay.
But it was too bad she wasn't on, though. I mean, of course, all I have to do is look at Orange County's website. I'm sure they have, like I said, I have kind of limited internet right now, but I'll get it. But I wanted to ask her, personally, a couple of questions about that. But, oh, well, you know, that's the way it goes, I suppose.
Right, right. Well, I have her email address. I'll forward it to you, and you can send her a note.
Okay, that's cool. But anyway, you can go ahead and mute me, Pastor Dan. That's just what I just wanted to pass that bit of information along. I thought it was, I guess you shouldn't laugh at anybody getting shot, but, you know, that's, he was down there apparently with a loaded AK-47 threatening people or whatnot, and he got what was coming to him, most definitely.
Yeah.
If it's true.
Well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen even if it didn't.
Definitely it's going to happen. Yeah,
sure.
Definitely. This is around election time, I'm telling you. I don't
Well, there was a good video just put out today by another group that was basically saying this is not an election, this is a war. Okay.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, definitely.
This is not, people say this is an election season. No, it's not. This is a war. And one side is going to win and the other side is going to lose. So, I don't even think about ballots and casting a ballot. I think it's inconsequential.
Nah, me neither.
This is a war at this point.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And one of the things I'm apprehensive about is I live here in Missouri, and as this goes into the wintertime, I mean, whew, man, oh man, you wouldn't want to lose power in the wintertime around here. I mean, the wind chill gets below, you know, like 20 to 25 to 30 degrees below zero.
Oh, yeah.
That's something. You're not facing that down in Florida, thank God. Around here, man.
What? No.
Hey. That would not be good.
No,
it's 110 in Texas.
Wow. Huh? 110. It's 110 in Texas.
Yeah, well, it's pretty warm here, too, even though it's only in the 80s. The humidity's through the roof, but I mean, oh, that's one thing I'm a little worried about that, I must admit. A little worried about this winter.
When the Bible said to flee to the mountains, it said may your fleeing not be in the winter for that very reason.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's why that voice inside of me keeps saying California. But believe it or not, California. How can that be? But that's what that voice keeps telling me.
You've got to follow the voice.
Do you think?
Because I came to Florida when there was no way in hell I wanted to come to Florida. I resisted it for decades. Until every avenue was taken away from me, and Florida was the only place I could work, and because of the situation I was in. And it turned out to be the best job the best weather, the best people, and my outreach just expanded exponentially after I came here. So that's why you can't ignore when the Father's voice is talking to you.
Yeah, I should call it that voice. I know who it is.
Yeah, it's his voice. Okay.
Right.
And besides that, if you start making moves to go to California and it was the other voice, the Father's going to slam that door right on your face.
Okay.
He's not going to let you go there. So that's another proof. If everything works to your benefit and you're able to go there, then it was the Father's leading you there. He's not going to put you in harm's way. Right. By the way, Magnum 44 just wrote in and said that he had $1,700 put into his account. So apparently there is a second wave of what are they calling it? Stimulus?
Yeah.
Stimulus digital dollars being floated about?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully they float me some. I could use it.
Well,
some of those digital shekels.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and I want to remind people that it's both good and bad, okay? We seem to focus on the bad all the time. But I'm going to tell you, there's some good things happening right now, too. So do not become disillusioned or fearful or into the negative vibrations, they call it, negative energy, negative vibration. We are the light bearers. We should stay at a higher level, okay? We carry his light within us. And I'm going to tell you something. People know that. When I went into the courthouses to do battle with the beast, or if I was talking to a police officer along the roadside or whatever, they can see that light within your eyes, folks. They see it. And for the enemy, it creates fear. For those who are just ignorant of Yahweh and his word, they look at it as a beacon and they're drawn to it. So don't ever forget that. The scripture says there's fire in your eyes. That just like the description of Christ is that he had a glowing fire in his eyes. Well, that's an intense gleaming, so to speak, from your eyes. And especially when your passion is fired up or your anger, as when the kids get out of line. But the point of it is, an Adamic man or woman, when they are energized, when they are passionate, when they are just putting forth this energy of Yahweh, their eyes glow. To these other people, they're actually glowing. You may not think they are, but they see that sparkle. They see that fire. And it's intimidating to the lost. So don't ever forget that.
That's true.
Okay.
But anyway, you can go ahead and mute me, Pastor Dan. I just wanted to throw that in there.
All right, buddy. Yahweh bless.
Take care now. Yahweh bless to you, too. Keep up the good work, by all means.
All right, thank you. Take care. Yahweh bless.
You too. Bye.
All right. Again, that was Vince out there in Missouri. And again, because he... Nurse Arlene writes in ocular orgasm. a little bit of humor, a little bit of Israelite humor in there. Okay. Well, I've had my children tell me that. They say, Dad, when you get angry, it's terrifying. That look that comes upon you is terrifying because then it's my wrath. Okay. It's not passion for the truth or passion against righteous indignations. It's the passion of spoiled children who are misbehaving. But it's the same energy, and it gets that same intense look in the eyeballs, and they used to tell me, Dad, it's terrifying. So, and I've noticed other Israelites that are the same way. So it's one of the gifts the Father gave us when we're dealing with these monsters in shoe leather that are behind all this nefarious activity going on. Okay, Kurt, anything else, buddy, before we wrap her up for the evening?
No more. I'm good.
All right, Kurt. Take care, and Yahweh bless. Stay strong.
Same. Yahweh bless.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for tuning in. And again, my apologies. Something happened. We had a glitch, but there is a lot going on. Stay strong. Stay in touch with your network of friends and like-minded folks. Get out of those cities. We've told you that for a long time. Get the hell out. Find farmland somewhere or somebody that owns a large tract of land. I'm looking into folks in Canada and the United States. Apparently, there are people with large tracts of land that are willing to set up trusts where families can get 5 to 10 acres under a trust. Instead of giving you the land outright or selling it to you where other people can interfere, they're going to keep possession of the land and give you 5 to 10 acres under a trust so that we can build communities. So we're looking into that aspect. If anybody knows of any of that, please forward that information to me. But whatever you can do to get on 5 to 10 acres minimum, that's plenty of land. We've got people that can show you how to grow an abundant amount of food, even on 1 acre, actually. But if you have 5 to 10, that's plenty for abundant crops and some pasture for goats or sheep or cattle, horses, whatever. So we need to get back to family farms. The other reason for that is you can't trust what they're putting out in these stores. We're running in it harder and harder and harder to find food that's fit to eat. And eventually they're going to use food as a lever against you to force you into accepting the tracking vaccine that will alter your DNA and also make you basically a non-human. You will be able to be patented and owned by the beast, literally owned by the beast, because you're no longer human. You're no longer natural. Okay, it's a long story how that works, but that's exactly what they're doing. So you don't want to set yourself up to where they can coerce you into accepting their way. Yahweh does not want that for any of us. So look for doors to open. We pray Yahweh would do that for each and every one of you. For any of you hurting financially, we pray for either work or something under the table or friends or family, whatever, to step up and help. And we all come through this together, okay? We either sink together or we're going to survive together, but we do it together. A family. It's in a family affair, okay? It's always been that way. We forgot we're family. Family first, and I mean racial family. Not just blood family, it's racial, okay? Because sometimes our own family members aren't much to speak of as far as the truth and Yahweh's word and all that stuff. They fall in with this liberal race mixing and all this other garbage that the modern-day church world pushes. So we are family. We'll get through this. We got to work together as a team, and we will succeed. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We ask that you bless Peggy, and we hope that everything's okay at her end. And help her as she goes forward and all the other fine naturopaths and doctors who are speaking out right now, all the people in the medical profession who are speaking out all over the world actually right now. So you are identifying truth seekers, and you're identifying your sons and daughters as well. We are your peculiar people, Keltoi in the Greek language, and we have been disobedient. And those of us who are repenting of that disobedience and want to come back under your righteous rulership, we pray that you would bless us and look after us. Help us to stay strong on a straight and narrow. Help us that we do not embarrass you or bring shame to your holy name. Help us to be successful and help us to help others. And for those of the militia, we ask the soldier's ransom upon each and every one of those young men. And sometimes older guys, and occasionally a few ladies. Bless them, protect them, watch over them, guide them at all times, and protect them as well as the rest of us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.